Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Lee Gibson joins us. We're going to talk about infrastructure and all that money that's going to be coming towards Nevada. He's former executive director of the RTC of Washoe County, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Lee Gibson. He is the former executive director of the Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County. He's also an expert in transportation in Southern Nevada and around the country. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
It's great to be here, Sam.
So let's talk about infrastructure, because obviously, we are pushing ahead with a major infrastructure bill that looks like, with a few bumps along the way, is likely to get passed through the Congress. What are your thoughts for Nevada? Let's start out with the North and then move to the South, and what we should be looking at to do with that money.
Well, let's first off maybe put it in context.
Sure. Like,
I think it's almost a half a trillion dollars they're talking about. So we're going to see a lot of the programs for Nevada plussed up. I think in Northern Nevada, one of the challenges is we're going to see a lot more money than we've traditionally seen. The question's going to become, are we prepared to spend it? And I raise that because one area I think is fascinating to me is going to be rural public transportation. I think Joe Biden and the Biden administration really want to push that. So we're going to have to figure out in the North, just in my opinion, partnerships with Fernley, Fallon, Yarrington, look to those counties, you know, Lyon, Story, and Churchill, look to Douglas County and figure out ways that we can better bring people to the resources of Sparks and Reno, and look towards making sure that we can integrate Northern Nevada more fully from a public transportation perspective. A lot of veterans, a lot of seniors, a lot of disabled individuals are out there in those rural counties, and they have to come here for those services. So we need to really focus on how that is going to evolve, and how those monies that traditionally have always been small amounts of money, when they get plussed up under the Biden administration proposal, how they're going to get programmed and effectively delivered.
Okay, so hang on. So let me just throw in as we go here. The other component, of course, is workers, because Reno Sparks has a major housing shortage. The cost is so high at this point and is likely to remain so for several years. So building in outlying areas where costs will be significantly cheaper makes sense, but people still have to get to work and the roads can only carry so much. So it would seem that, you know, that kind of bus service, you know, I've been saying on the show, bus service with Wi-Fi is, you know, a very pleasant way to spend a half an hour or 45 minutes rather than driving in heavy traffic.
I absolutely agree. I also think we need to look and you bring up an important point, and that's the roadway network. The roadway network is going to have to be significantly addressed. I think we need to continue the development of the area around USA Parkway and US 50. I know, at least when I was at RTC, there was talk of a lot of housing going in down there. I also think Southern Nevada does something interesting. It's called WayCare. They actually partner with a private company that helps predict sort of where accidents will be and get the emergency response resources there as quickly as possible. I'd like to see some of that up north. I think that's one way we can manage a lot of the incidents on I-80 corridor going out to USA Parkway and up to Lemon Drive, especially as they start the Lemon Drive improvements and really plussing up the infrastructure up there to serve all those jobs at 395 and Lemon Drive. So I think to kind of tangent off the transit piece, I think technology is going to have to be part of that vision and how we integrate both the roadway and the public transportation pieces to move people to jobs. Because you're absolutely right, Sam. The affordable housing is in the ex-urban areas, and the jobs are in the Reno-Sparks metropolitan area, and we have expensive housing, and helping bring people to those jobs, to me, is going to be important. One footnote to all of this that I've been sort of struggling with throughout the pandemic is going to be the role of technology and the worker in the office or the workplace. Granted, for production, manufacturing, you need workers in the factory, but for a lot of office-type work, workers can work from home, and you know what? They like it now. They've had a taste of it during the pandemic. And I'm just curious, just thinking out loud, how is that going to affect traffic flows over the long term? We may find that people, after we come out of the pandemic, still want to work from home. Employers will still be acceptable or open to that idea. So maybe some of the traffic congestion is going to be mitigated by people living further out in the affordable housing, but still using technology to commute.
Okay, so let's open that up as a discussion point. So yes, people have enjoyed, to an extent, being able to work from home, and there are some that are going to want to be able to do that. But there are social consequences to
Absolutely.
That. How many people have met their future spouse by working with them at the office? I mean, I'm figuring that that's a pretty large number, because after a certain point of where you grow into adulthood, you're no longer going to bars and nightclubs and university and the places where you would normally meet and potentially date. But as you get older, a lot of those relationships blossom out of business relationships. Also, you know, I love my house. I absolutely have been in there 31 years, almost 32 years. But I also love my office, and I think that it's good to have, you know, a space between the two. So I'm not so sure that the percentage of people that are going to be working out of their homes long term is going to be as great as some people are predicting.
I would agree with that, because I do believe from an employer's perspective, there is a certain synergy that occurs when at the water cooler or the coffee pot, where two employees come together, two colleagues come together and work out a problem and solve a problem, have a moment of inspiration, and the company or the public agency has a new way, a new path forward for either a new product or a new service or a new public investment. So I totally agree with that. And I think there has to be, perhaps the solution is going to be one where when the employees are in the workplace, more emphasis is placed on encouraging them to have those social bonds, encouraging them to have that interaction. So I think you're absolutely correct on that. And I personally, that's, you know, I think my best ideas were always in brainstorming sessions.
Right.
My best ideas are always when I'm with my colleagues, just thinking things through.
All right, but doesn't it also concern you that we have a situation, you know, if you're talking 20 years ago, people were concerned that kids had an inability to make change at a grocery store, that if it weren't for the cash register, they wouldn't know how much money to give you back.
Right.
Now we have people who have difficulty having a conversation. They can text, they can email. They'd rather do that than actually talk to another person. The person who has the ability to communicate as we are here has a huge advantage over that.
Absolutely. This is where I'm a big believer in the liberal arts. This is where I believe you have to pay attention to your British literature class, to your writing classes, and learn how to be able to read, write, and then speak, because those skills are absolutely essential no matter what discipline you're in, whether you're in STEM or the liberal arts, being able to communicate. And I think you're right. I think maybe the next big step is to think through ways to encourage people-to-people conversations and interaction that are beyond the workplace. I think it's very sad in society. There's a book out there I've glanced through about how we've lost the bowling leagues. You know, we don't have opportunities for people to interact anymore beyond work. So maybe the way to do this is to encourage people who are passionate about their professions to maybe focus more on their professional associations to deal with how to communicate and also develop those personal bonds. I mean, some of my best friends are people I've met through work.
Right, and but also, you know, through the Rotary Club, through the Lions Club, through Toastmasters, through all these other professional groups that you were mentioning, where we learn from each other, we find people as role models, and it helps us grow. And I you know, United Airlines chief was talking in an interview, and the question was, do you think business travel is going to return? And his response was, the first time that there is a sales meeting, and one person comes in person, and the other person does a Zoom call, and the person who came in person is the one that gets the sale, he said, everybody's going to be going to the sale. So let's take a break. We'll come back much more after this timeout.
See one of the best-selling country artists of all time, Trace Atkins, live at the Carson Valley Inn, July 2nd and 3rd. Tickets start at $79. Call or go online. Visit CarsonValleyInn.com. Trace Atkins live at CVI, July 2nd and 3rd.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
See one of the best-selling country artists of all time, Trace Atkins, live at the Carson Valley Inn, July 2nd and 3rd. Tickets start at $79. Call or go online. Visit CarsonValleyInn.com. Trace Atkins live at CVI, July 2nd and 3rd.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're discussing infrastructure with Lee Gibson. He's the former executive director of the RTC of Washoe County. One more thing about Northern Nevada, then we'll move to Southern Nevada. A lot of discussion on the program over the last few years about the gridlock that occurs on I-80 between Reno Sparks and TRI, the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. You say it can be widened without being such a big issue.
That's true. I believe NDOT's been looking at that feasibility, and I believe there's ways to put in extra lanes and travel out there. And I think that's, you know, the initial investment that needs to be done is to improve that corridor and improve its operations. I also think, though, the city of Sparks, RTC, they're on the right path looking at a second road to the Tri-Center. I think that can provide a reliever. At some point, I saw a thing where, I guess, Mayor Lawson said that's going to be a $300 million investment. I sort of went back to my Southeast Connector Veterans Parkways days, where that was how much I believe we spent, or close to what we spent on the Southeast Connector. I think the other thing we shouldn't forget, though, is the 395 corridor. You know, I believe more, at least the last time I looked at the data, there were more jobs at Lemon Drive and 395 than USA Parkway and I-80. We have a lot of jobs up there that I think need to be dealt with. But of course, some of that work is starting now, and I think we're doing what we need to do, or that they're doing what they need to do, NDOT, RTC, to get that done. I think the important lesson here that I just want to kind of get a plug in is the continuation of leadership. I think Neoma Jardine has been the champion for the I-80 spaghetti bowl improvements for years, and it takes that kind of full court press, to use a basketball analogy, to really keep these major projects moving forward. And I think when we look to how we spend the stimulus money, or it's not stimulus money, how we spend...
It is stimulus money.
Well, it is stimulus money. Sorry about that.
But for infrastructure.
But when we look at spending the infrastructure money, when we look at the INVEST Act, I think that kind of leadership is going to need to be continued, and we're going to have to focus on, you know, thinking a little bit beyond the box, if you will. Not, I hate to use that phrase. The one good thing we have in the North is a people-based planning process. We go out, or they go out, they talk to folks, we listen, they listen to the community, and I think that's going to be an important element, especially as we try to fold in what the implications of the post-pandemic world are going to look like in terms of people's behavior towards work.
Yes, that's going to be fascinating. And I think one of the clues that we can look at is to see the resurgence of first on a local level of gaming, and then the drive-in market from Southern California in terms of gaming in Southern Nevada, well, actually even in Northern Nevada, where the pent-up demand has been unbelievable. So there are a lot of people ready to get out of the house. And so return to what they consider to be a more normal lifestyle, which is what it was, you know, before 2019.
I absolutely agree. And in Southern Nevada, I think, again, there's a big investment being made on I-11 near the Las Vegas area, Tropicana, and I believe at Sloan. But at long term, I think there needs to be a really hard look at I-15 into California. We'll talk about I-11 in a minute, too. Because again, the ability to bring people from Southern California to Las Vegas, there's a lot of pent-up demand. I think there's going to be an effort in the near future to really look at, especially the role of technology. I have a friend who has mentioned maybe building truck-only lanes for autonomous vehicles that the autonomous trucks could operate in, which would free up general-purpose travel lanes for tourists to come back to Las Vegas. I think I-11 is another thing we shouldn't lose sight of.
Okay, can we go back to I-15
sure.
for just a second here? So where are you looking at the, you know, is there already the room on I-15 to be able to widen it enough to have a specific lane for autonomous trucks?
I believe there are rights of way that are available on both sides of the border.
Is there a desire in California to spend that money?
That's the question. That's always been the challenge, is California's priorities sometimes aren't necessarily what Nevada's priorities are. And I think that's where the political process is going to have to come into play, and dialogue is going to have to occur with the California side to maybe work through that. And I know NDOT, and I don't know a lot about it, but I just know that NDOT does have an MOU in place with Caltrans, with NDOT, and with UDOT to look at the I-15 corridor to make sure that there's coordinated multi-state planning. So those institutional instruments are in place, to sound like my old job, I guess. Those institutional partnerships are there. I think the question's going to now be, how much money does everyone want to bring to the table? And again, I go back to what we're seeing with the Biden infrastructure proposal, with the INVEST Act. There may be the resources made available. There's money out there that's being talked about. In my 30-something years in this business, I've never seen amounts like this before.
No.
So I think we're going to have to really go into our creative zones and start thinking about what is it that we can do that we probably never thought about doing in the past, because we just never saw money to the extent that we're going to see coming through these pieces of legislation.
And they're high-speed trains, but they're not the high-speed trains of Japan, for example, or Europe. But higher-speed trains for Brightline, mm-hmm. and then Amtrak looking at money to restart their lines between Las Vegas and L.A. Are you comfortable with those two plans?
I am comfortable with anything that brings anybody to Las Vegas as quickly as possible, be it automobile, be it train, be it airplane, be it whatever method. I think keeping access and keeping mobility functional is critical to the survival of Las Vegas and Clark County, survival and the survival of the state. As proud as I think we all are in Northern Nevada of the diversification, I still don't think it's to a mass that equates to what the economy, the tourism economy in Southern Nevada, brings forth for the state as a state GDP.
All right, so let me throw this out to you just briefly,
sure.
Which is that diversification is an interesting phrase, because to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but to me diversification means that the tax base doesn't completely go away when you have a hit. If you have diversification, so your tourism industry goes in the tank, but you have all these other industries like data storage and warehousing that continue on during that time, so your economy does not collapse because half of the economy is still in place. Because you're never going to, you know, exceed the tourism industry in Southern Nevada. I mean, unless, you know, suddenly Pittsburgh decides to build steel, you know, outside of Clark County.
No, you're absolutely correct, and I think, you know, as much as Southern Nevada, much as folks who've been with the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance have made successful efforts to diversify down there, it's a drop in the bucket compared to up here. And the gaming footprint is still, the resort footprint is still so large, it's going to influence and continue to really drive the direction of the employment and tax numbers.
And you know, the gaming industry in Northern Nevada is not chopped liver either.
No, it's not.
It's just that, you know, the publicity. I think that there was kind of a push a few years ago to, from a PR point of view, take us away from being gaming because there was gaming everywhere else. And so we got excited about high tech and all these other great things that have been going on. But I think the people within the gaming industry were going, hey, we're bringing a lot of money too, and a lot of jobs.
I think the one thing, this is just my historical experience. I sat on the EDON board of directors for a long time. And I remember during the Great Recession, and gaming was there, you know, in the room, I think there was just an attitude developed here, an attitude developed here that just said never again. We're just not going to let our unemployment get into the double digits. We're going to diversify. We want to give our citizens and taxpayers the opportunity to find something different. I think as a result, we've developed the high-tech logistics and freight sectors of the economy, but gaming is still, you know, still a predominant element. Resorts side is still a predominant element. You still get a first-class treatment. I don't want to maybe shouldn't do this, but you know, you still get first-class treatment at the El Dorado Group. So,
well, and you know, $150 million into the Grand Sierra is not, you know, a small amount.
Exactly. So, I think what I see here is just, you know, that they're cooperating. Not that they don't cooperate in Southern Nevada.
Right, and you know, I agree with you. It's a balance. But I guess my point was that diversification is a great word, but it doesn't literally mean that. If you have diversification, you don't get killed in a portion of your industry when one half collapses. And you know, we've seen it sadly with, you know, September 11th, when all the plane flights were stopped and travel was stopped essentially in the country. We saw it again in the Great Recession, and now we've seen it with COVID, that you know, you are going to see those kind of problems if you have another set of industries that surround that business. Then you do have balance for your base, but you are still going to have turmoil. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk more about 11 after this.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low, and our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Lee Gibson, former executive director of the RTC of Washoe County. So I-11, the holdup has really been Arizona not putting the funds in to their portion of this because Southern Nevada has put, you know, at least the beginnings of their portion down there. From what you're hearing, is Arizona, with this Biden money, interested in moving ahead rapidly with I-11?
I believe the I-11 caucus, which is a political group of members of the House of Representatives and the congressional delegations of Nevada and Arizona, I think you're going to see them really putting a heavy emphasis in the INVEST Act and in the Biden infrastructure proposals to really push that forward. I think that project is needed for not just mobility purposes and transportation, but also for safety. I think everyone agrees, Arizonans and Nevadans, we want our citizens safe on the road. So I do think you're going to see a heavy push and a move towards that improvement getting closer to fruition here in the near future.
All right, so we didn't even get to HOA loans in Project Neon, so you have to come back and we'll continue that conversation. Lee Gibson, thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be back, Sam.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can always watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.